Hello, everyone, and a welcome again to this live broadcast from the First Colony Church of Christ. My name's Shane. I'm the campus minister of our Foster Creek campus. I'm also the pastoral care minister of all our campuses. It is such a privilege for me to be able to share from God's word today with you. So let's begin with another just quick prayer, please. Lord, may we absorb your truth from your word today, and may we be moved by your spirit to trust and obey and to draw near to you and to be formed to become more like Jesus today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life under lockdown can be a real drag, right? I mean, in any situation where we're stuck in place and limited in our movements and what we can do, that can be super, super frustrating, right? We've all experienced that. But I don't think any of us has ever experienced something like this before. I mean, yes, I've heard some stories about Ronnie's time in solitary confinement, but I don't know if they're true. You can ask him. But really, a great question that we can ask ourselves in any situation, and including this situation, is what can I learn from this? How can this help me to grow? So we go to God's word, and there we find yet another story of someone who was in an unplanned, unwanted timeout. Picture the Apostle Paul, the great missionary of the early church. And he's in prison, and God had sent him to go out into the whole world and preach about the good news message of Jesus Christ. But around AD 62, Paul is under house arrest in Rome for about 2 years. And while he's on lockdown in Rome, he writes three churches. And these letters are the books that we have in our New Testament, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. If you read these and you consider that Paul is writing while being in a place of being locked down, being kept from what he knew his mission was. If you think about that and you read that and you see what his attitude and his spirit is, it's an amazing thing. So today we're going to look at some passages in the book of Colossians. And there the Apostle Paul from prison gives us some profound lockdown lessons. In fact, in the first chapter, Paul says that one of his goals is to teach them with wisdom so that they might become fully mature in Christ. It's very much like this beautiful phrase he uses. It's one of my favorites. In his other letter, in Ephesians, he says he wants us to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness in Christ. So today I want us to take a good, hard, for real look at some of the ways God might work in us and through us and among us, even in this difficult season. Because crisis and hardship, they can bring out the best in us, but also they can bring out the worst in us. Tough situations like these can strip away our securities and take away our identities that we cling to. It can expose our weaknesses, our brokenness, our frailties. And if we're willing to see it, if we're willing to own it, this situation can reveal the false gods that we may be tempted to worship, especially the god of self. And this is a powerful false god we all need to be dethroned in our lives. Because, you know, don't we value our personal freedom? Don't we love to have it my way? Don't we want to be in control? Don't we, you know, I'll be the boss of me. And during this COVID lockdown, I bet we've all struggled with this, wrestling with the idol of self and having some choices taken away from us and what we want to do. And as we've been home together, maybe this has tested our ability to be patient with one another, to overlook offenses, and to forgive one another. And maybe our selfish, I want it my way, nature has reared its ugly head more than we even want to admit. Because all of us have to contend with this hard fact. I'm a selfish idolater. And times like this have a way of bringing out that selfish, me-centered, unhealthy impulses. But what if we consider how we might use this experience to learn and to grow and to be shaped more, to become more like Jesus? Recognizing the depth of our self-idolatry should lead us to repentance, which will then lead us to new depths of growth in Christ and true life in Jesus. So I've got 3 points that I want to kind of drill down into today, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The first is to learn your lockdown lessons. Hard as it is, we have this opportunity here to grow and to learn. So ask yourself this question: what has this experience taught me? What idols has this exposed in my heart and in my life? What lessons can I learn from my relationships, from my physical health, my emotional health, my spiritual life, my home life, my work life? Let's read today first from Colossians 2, 6 to 8. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element of spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Now, there were people in the Colossian church that Paul was writing to that had allowed themselves to be captivated by a worldview and a philosophy that did not value Christ as the all-sufficient cornerstone of their faith and practice. They settled for a hollow and deceptive philosophy, in Paul's words. And you know, can't we all sometimes have a tendency to substitute something else in the place of Jesus for our greatest joy or our source of assurance or security or for our hope or for maybe the paradigm or the worldview that drives our values in our own kind of personal operating system? It's built on one of those worldly philosophies. But Christ and his truth, his grace and his redemptive saving power, that must be the foundation of our lives and the source of our hope. So, of course, we want to remain rooted in him. You know, we put our hope in what we trust in. If I don't trust it, I'm not going to put any hope in it. And we will worship what we love most. And anything we love, anything we rely on, anything we put our hope in rather than the Lord will be an idol for us at some point. Now let's read Colossians 3, 1 through 14. That says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. You've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. What a beautiful passage. And I love how it both reminds us to center our hearts and minds on Christ, to keep our identity anchored in him, but it also addresses our behavior that needs to flow out of that identity in Christ and out of a heart that belongs to God. But he doesn't, you know, shy away from addressing behavior either. His letter to the Colossians is both deeply theological, it's also immensely practical and teaching us how to live out our faith. I like that it tells us what Christ has done for us, but also what Christ wants to do in us and what he wants to do through us. It's a good list from Paul that I just read. What lessons are there for you? Now, I reached out to some of our elders and ministers, and I asked them to share just something that the Lord has been teaching them during this time. I received a lot of great replies, and we can't share them all. There's not time, but here are a few that I really wanted to share. First, someone said, in times of crisis, we may not control the situation, but we do have control over how we choose to respond and who we put our trust in. I've been reminded recently that we were never really in control. This pandemic has forced us to go without many of the basic things that we take for granted. However, the way we respond and our attitude towards adversity reflects who and what we value. Another person said, I'm learning that I have limits. I do have an end of myself and my own strength, where I either press into God's power or I'm done. I'm learning that God is my resilience and he enables my bounce back ability. And also that I can't do this alone. I need my family, my church family. I need those that I serve with. And also, this one mentions, I need a good laugh. And someone else mentions, I've learned that time is a human construct that means nothing. Someone else said, puzzles are boundless sources of entertainment and of frustration. And the same person said they've learned that some people's hair grows a lot faster than others. Another person says, I'm learning how important it is to not isolate and to stay connected with friends and family and my church family. And they said, I'm so thankful for Zoom, and I'm a bit tired of Zoom. Another person said, we've seen the benefits and blessings of slowing down with less busyness and less hectic scheduling in our lives. And though it's been hard at times, our family has realized what a blessing it is from God to have more time together. Another person said, I realize now more than ever how much I depend on God. And finally, I'm learning that merely going to church will not bring me intimacy with God, but that going to be with the church is a celebration that I love, and to be with other people who are also walking with God throughout the week is a beautiful thing. So, what lockdown lessons have you learned? Secondly, today I want to remind you how very important it is that you transfer your hope. Transfer your hope. In the time of crisis, you know, we idolaters, we tend to turn inward and kind of focus on me and you know, how we're struggling. Yet, as followers of Christ, we're taught by Jesus himself to look, yes, inward for growth and repentance and shaping and transformation into Christ-likeness, but he also encourages us to look upward and outward. We're called to be ambassadors of truth and grace and hope and peace who know that our future is secure in Christ no matter what happens. And so we step into joy rather than cynicism. We lean into hope rather than despair. And we allow Christ to transfer his joy, his hope, his grace, his love through us. We are the conduits. We become those conduits that transfer the love and joy and hope of Christ to others. And doesn't the world really need it right now? More than ever, we can proclaim it both in what we say and how we live. Our true hope, grounded in trusting faith, that neither death nor life nor trouble or hardship or even a worldwide pandemic can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. At home, even, you can say amen to that. Amen? Well, let's look at Colossians 1, 21 to 23, and then also I'll read right after that, chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, has become a servant. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Friends, our hope comes from the cross and an empty tomb. And that hope is sure. It is real. It is vital. Transfer that hope to others. Be conduits of that hope and the love and the joy and the peace and the grace of Christ. Finally, here's one last lockdown lesson that I believe the Lord has for us all. And it's this. Let's get ready to shift our Christian fellowship into overdrive. I think you know what I mean. Aren't you hungry for it? I know I am. You know, and guess what? We've been able to connect. I've been amazed with how we've been able to come together even when we're physically apart. Even when we can't hug or high five, we can still connect. And in fact, even today, even this week, you can have fellowship with others. We have an online conversations class. If you want to join a class every Sunday at 10 a.m., and you can join just by clicking the link and then the email that many of you received this past week, or go to our website and that online resources page and look for online conversations class. Also, we have some new online connection groups. Now, connection groups are our small groups, and many of you are in a connection group. Most of you are. But if you're not, we'd love to invite you to join one of our new online connection groups. And also, you can go to the website and that online resources page and click connection groups. We would love to help you get connected because we're created to connect. We're created to care for one another. So even now, there are opportunities. But, like I said, of course, we're just longing for fellowship together in the same room. And as we anticipate this day in a few weeks, when we gather together, some of us, you know, in a limited way, and as we step back into physical fellowship, I think God wants us to think about and pray about how we can maximize our connections, shift our fellowship into overdrive. I recently read a story about a gal who grew up in a Jewish family. When she became a follower of Jesus at the age of 15, her parents told her, "As long as you live under our roof, you will not be permitted to attend church." In fact, they were clear. They hoped that this ban on fellowshipping with other Christians would starve out her faith in Jesus the Messiah. For her first 3 years as a believer in Christ, she worshiped alone in her room, listening to preaching on the radio and reading the Christian books that she would smuggle into the house until she turned 18. She says, "My experience as a new believer in a home hostile to my faith was a profoundly formational experience for me. It not only shaped my expectations and hopes about being part of a local body of Christ, but it prepared me for a chronic illness I had later in life that sometimes kept me away from church for weeks or even months at a time. And even after a couple of toxic church experiences during which it was tempting to revert to kind of a do-it-myself or Lone Ranger kind of faith to protect myself from getting hurt, I never did. I've always stayed connected," she says, "in Christian community, in large part because of what I learned worshiping alone in my room as a teen." Isn't that amazing? Well, what did she learn in lockdown? There's many, many interesting and good things she learned, but mainly, if I summarized it down and boiled it down to one phrase, it would be, "Don't play church. Don't play church. Don't take for granted the opportunities afforded to us when we gather together," right? Don't take for granted the wonderful blessing of, yes, worshiping together, but also so much more, praying together, encouraging one another, connecting over God's word, serving in some way, reaching out to others, looking for ministry opportunities as the Holy Spirit leads us. Christian fellowship is so much more than good church attendance. Christian fellowship is more than gathering for holy busy work. Christian fellowship is more than checking off a theological checkbox. And Christian fellowship is more than being religious consumers, just kind of watching and consuming religious goods and services. God wants us to connect, and God wants us to go deep into that and to be intentional. And I'm ready for more. How about you? Whatever my context, you know, Paul the Apostle might say, whether you're under COVID-19 lockdown or not, be intentional and connect. You know, now I want to be real clear here and careful to say we want to, in these next few weeks, follow the guidelines that Ronnie and the board have worked out, and we want to step into this carefully because, you know, we want to do this well, okay? Personally, the idea of having to wear a mask to church and talk to you and fellowship you at 6 feet, that didn't sound too fun, but you know what? If that's the step that helps us get to where we can get back together again, I'm in. Sign me up. I'll do it. I'll take that because it's the step we can take to get more into fellowship and community and to love one another well. So sign me up because we can do it with presence and purpose and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do this. Let's look at our final passage in Colossians today. It's chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you as you richly teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You know, this is not some kind of guilt trip. This is not some legalistic, law-based rule. This is your invitation. It's our invitation to experience more of what God wants for us, what God intends for you as a part of his forever family. So as we pursue meaningful expressions of fellowship, whenever we gather, God has a way of doing some amazing things. And as we share together in worship and prayer and fellowship and communion and service, the Holy Spirit is at work among us. Whether it be in an auditorium with 1,000 people, an auditorium with 10 people, or in a connection group in our living room, or on the phone with a dear friend, the Holy Spirit works when we connect with intentionality. So let's be intentional now during this difficult season, but also let's get ready for that day that's coming when we can shift our shared Christian community to be together more. But let's let God prepare us, and let's think about how we can be intentional and creative about that. Back to Michelle Van Loon, that's the lady I quoted earlier whose parents kept her from church. She ended her story that I read with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, many of you know who Bonhoeffer is and that he had his anti-Nazi convictions led him to an underground expression of church before and during World War II. And eventually, he was put in prison and then in concentration camps. Bonhoeffer was executed by the Nazis in 1945. And his words from his book, Life Together, may be a good challenge for us and shape us now together in this time when we've been kind of doing life apart. So listen to what Bonhoeffer says about life together. He says, "It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God that any day may be taken from us, that the time that still separates us from utter loneliness may be brief indeed. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare, it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren." As I close with this challenge for us today, let's just think about it one more time. Are we learning the lessons of lockdown that the Lord wants to teach us? Are we centering our hope on Christ? And are we ready to transfer that hope to a lost and hurting world? And are we ready to move in radical grace, radical love, radical mission, radical service, radical one anothering as we share life and community together? Let's not go to church ever again. Let's be the church. Yeah, COVID may have put worshiping together in person on pause for a little time, but church is never on pause, and we have learned that. Because we don't go to church, we are the church, and that is not some pithy theological saying. It's truth, and it's what God's calling us to be his people in community, to bless our community. So let's not play church. Let's be intentional. Let's be proactive with presence and purpose, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be released into mission and radical one anothering, and we're so ready for that, I know. Well, we're in this together. We love you. We're praying for you. Let's get ready for what God wants to do next.